I'd like to keep that passage open as we look to Jesus' words for us today. As we look at the kingdom today, Jesus is going to use an illustration about farming, and he's got a main question. This is the question he wants us to think about today. How are you cultivating your heart? How are you cultivating your heart? Now, I am going to make an assumption that not many of you here have ever farmed before. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to make an assumption there that maybe hardly any of us have any experience in farming. And this makes it really hard, doesn't it, as Jesus now gives us this illustration that involves farming. And cultivating fields are important, aren't they? We benefit greatly here in Sydney because all the produce comes to us. We don't have to do much except for go to the shop and push our trolley around. But I went to visit my sister out near the Adelaide Hills one time, and she's on a property where as you're driving the countryside, you're seeing something unique. That as you're driving along, you go past one paddock and there's a pile of rocks. You go past another paddock, there's another pile of rocks. You go past another paddock and it seems like they've turned the pile of rocks into a wall. And you're going, what's going on here? Anyway, my sister, she has horses and she grows a little bit of grain. And while we were driving along and we got to my sister's place, I asked her, what's going on here? Is this a South Australia thing? Like, what do you guys do? It turns out that the ground is so rocky that what they do is as they're trying to plow through all the ground, all these rocks come to the surface and they've got to put them somewhere so they can grow their grain. Otherwise, when they come to harvest time, they destroy all their mechanics. So sometimes it's rocky ground. But cultivating the ground is going to help you get rid of the rocks so you can grow some grain. My parents also live on a property as well, and they live out on the Manning River out near Taree. Beautiful property, great for growing soil, grain, and any sort of crop out there, because the soil there is so fertile. Being on the floodplain, whenever the waters come up, you get some beautiful rich soil come down onto your property, thanks to those upstream. How great is that? You just got to throw the seed into the ground and guess what? You come back a bit later with a bit of water, it's already growing. It's wonderful soil. So my dad doesn't have to do much besides keep weeds at bay because they like to grow too. And I'm not sure if you've ever been to this part of Sydney. Now, up on the northwest side of Sydney, there's a place called Colo. Anyone been there? A few people, excellent. Okay, so you know when I talk about Colo and you think about cultivating or trying to dig into the ground there, is that a good idea? It's a terrible idea, right? Why is that? Because it's like solid rock. You've got a little slim bit of dirt there and then you've got solid rock. Cultivating the earth is going to help you to grow grain and this is sort of the picture that Jesus is telling people as he's telling them about this parable. And I've got a question for us all tonight, and Jesus wants to ask us this question too. How are you cultivating your heart? How are you cultivating your heart? Because here's the thing. You are always cultivating your heart and your life through your routines and rhythms. And you probably haven't noticed. Because our routines and our rhythms are based on the good life, the life that we think is going to be good for us, and it's our version of the kingdom. Not the kingdom of God, it's our own kingdom that we've come up with that should be the kingdom of God, but we settle for ours. And often our routines and our rhythms and our idea of the good life or the kingdom is informed by culture. And it's usually not a conscious thought. We don't give much conscious effort to it. You might have this experience where you come to your letterbox for us, I think it's a Wednesday, and you know in your letterbox on a Wednesday, guess what's there? The Aldi brochure. And oh my gosh, when you get the Aldi brochure, you just go, whatever, it's an Aldi brochure. I don't really care. I don't really shop at Aldi. So I have no desire of buying anything in this Aldi brochure. But as I sit there and I flick through it for some unknown reason, I go, hold on. I didn't know I needed that. I really want that too. And all of a sudden, my heart is being cultivated for all these things. At cheap TV. I got two. I don't need another one. I might find something else. Shoe storage. Wouldn't it be good to have more storage for shoes? All the women said amen. There's all these different things, isn't there? Because what's going on? I am actually cultivating my heart, even through an Aldi brochure, for my own version of the kingdom. Are you cultivating your heart to buy more? If so, then you're cultivating your life for a kingdom that is here and now. Or do you find yourself constantly going for that device? You know, that one that's in your pocket or your handbag, that phone? And you just find yourself, you're just scrolling. You don't even know why. You're just there. No one's calling. There's no emergency. You're just scrolling. Why? Because your heart has been cultivated, isn't it, through those routines and rhythms that when you're bored, guess what's going to give you the good life? That device. Scrolling through, trying to find something that excites your imagination or your mind. In fact, our fingers are engaging in modern worship and we're so accustomed to it that we don't even know. We've been cultivated into it, groomed into it even. And we're participating in a worldwide religion of social media and digital platforms. And I'm not saying this in a condemning way because we're all sort of subject to it, but it's to open our eyes that there's something going on, isn't there? That your heart is being cultivated by the routines and the rhythms of your life for a kingdom, and it can either be cultivated towards God's kingdom or it's going to be cultivated towards a kingdom that's not God's. And Jesus wants to speak into that today. He wants to grab our attention and he wants you to cultivate your heart for the kingdom of God. And how can you do that? Well, you can cultivate your heart for the message of the kingdom. And this is nothing new. Jesus has been doing it for a long time, right? We see him here in Luke chapter 8, and you pick up the story in verse 1, and you see here Jesus is traveling from one town to another, village to village, and he's doing the same thing as he goes from one place to the next. What's he doing? Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's proclaiming the good news that God is compassionate and caring. He is proclaiming that God is merciful, that he is forgiving, that here is God and he's welcoming sinners who turn to him, who turn away from their own idea of the kingdom and look forward to the kingdom of God. And God is humbling the proud. He's ready to lift up the downtrodden. And we see this in interaction after interaction as Jesus goes from place to place and he meets with person and person and crowd after crowd, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And as Jesus does this, he's also warning people, isn't he? Stop living for your own kingdom. Don't do it. Because if you live for your own kingdom, you can't enter God's. And this is why he goes around preaching the good news. That unless people repent and turn to God, the gates of the kingdom are closed. We won't get in, but we have such a great and merciful God who, as we turn to him and as we follow Jesus, he opens the doors for us, doesn't he? In fact, he goes one better. As we ask for forgiveness and seek his kingdom, he plucks us out of a different kingdom that we are given ourselves to and places us safely into his. It's amazing. And so as we looked at Jesus and he's going from town to town, we're starting to see the mercy and the compassion of God. The mercy and the compassion of God is here as Jesus is going around for 3 years all over Israel. Going around telling people about the kingdom. Why? Because God wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved. He wants people to hear that they are living for the wrong kingdom, and that kingdom that they're living for is actually going to end in death, and that's not going to be great for anyone. And he desires that we all turn and live for his kingdom. If God didn't love the world, if Jesus hadn't come and talked to people and went from town to town and village to village sharing the good news of the kingdom, we would be lost in a kingdom of darkness. So great is our God. And so I want to ask you, are you going to continue to live for your own kingdom or are you going to live for God's kingdom? Because here is your gracious and compassionate God who has come, who said, "You cannot enter my kingdom. The gates are closed unless you turn and repent." And the one who says the message, Jesus, has himself come. Because we don't get our act together. Because we don't listen to the message he preaches. And he lived a life that we couldn't live, and he lived it completely and totally for the kingdom of God. Sacrificing everything. Finding his identity not in the things of this world, but only in his Father in heaven. And then he died on a cross, dying in the place of you and I, the guilty. In the place of sinners and rebels, he died for us, so that all who repent and believe in Jesus are clear of that guilt. Such is the mercy and grace of God. That the gates of heaven are opened, that you can now enter in. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. If this is the message that you're ready to receive and you're starting to think, hold on, I want that kingdom. Because Jesus, the King of that kingdom, is so great. Are you ready to receive the good news? Are you ready to receive the message of the kingdom? And I'm wondering if you already have believed in that message, if you already are looking towards the kingdom of God, are you ready to share the message of the kingdom? To join in the mission of Jesus? To go from person to person, maybe town to town, maybe suburb to suburb, maybe cross over the railway station here. I don't know where you have to go. To share the message, the good news of the kingdom of God, so that people can turn from their kingdom and enter into the kingdom of heaven themselves. There's a challenge there for us, isn't there, as we look to Jesus. But there's also a challenge for us personally. As we now turn to Jesus' parable, and here he tells us the good news through this parable of the seed and the soils. And he says that the seed is the message of the kingdom. As we see in verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And you get this picture of God's grace again. God's word is going out into the fields like seed thrown into the field. It's a message being taught for people, so they can shape their lives and change their lives. And people's responses now, as Jesus goes on to talk about the soils, people's responses are indicated by those soils. And it's not like a one-and-done type of deal. It's an all-of-life response that Jesus is talking about. Jesus wants to give us a picture of the whole-life response to the message of the kingdom. And he warns us about these obstacles that we may face, these things that may be cultivated in our own heart that stop us from receiving the gospel or holding on to the gospel. And so what does he say? He says the first obstacle is the work of Satan. Have a look at verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. I wonder if you've ever come across that, that as people hear the gospel and they're already primed not to listen to it. So as you share the gospel with someone, you know it's just falling on deaf ears. That any opportunity that is provided by the message of the gospel coming, Satan is there and he's not letting it come in. He's stealing it away. There's a stark message here for us that Satan is actively distracting those moments where you may be sharing the gospel, even like a bike riding outside really loudly. There's another story there. I won't go into it tonight. Satan is there and he's reinforcing those voices in our culture that say that God is dead, God is irrelevant, God is old-fashioned. He looks for ways to destroy anyone's chance to know Jesus. This is real. And a heart that is hardened to God makes no room for God's voice to be heard. And that very heart is the playground of Satan. We must be aware of this as we share the message of the gospel with people around us and pray that their hearts may not be the road. Jesus says another obstacle is hardship. As we look at verse 13, he says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they will fall away. The gospel is wonderful, isn't it? We say a big amen to that. And people quickly want to believe. There is great rejoicing when they hear the gospel and their sins are forgiven and the love of God and the grace of God towards them. And they even show these habits of going to church, of reading the Bible. They look like they're there, but then hardship comes and those habits are gone. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop coming to Bible study. Instead of cultivating trust in Jesus, their heart is hardened in pain. That sorrow and grief have cultivated a heart that says, I am better away from God. Especially this is true if we believe our faith leads to God's blessings now. That is, if we believe that if we give our time and attention to God, well, God should stop those hardships from ever coming. That we should have all the blessings and all the goodness now, and nothing bad should ever happen. No hardship, no trials. And so we search for something, don't we? We search for something to try and make God happy with us, because if we make him happy, he takes away the bad stuff. And that sort of becomes a deal with God. If I do enough good for you, you keep providing me with good. But when that doesn't work, we start to believe there's something wrong with me. And so we lose sight of God. We lose sight of his grace because we think it's about what we do. But it's not about what we do. God loves us. He provides everything we need. And he's showing that day after day, but we can't hear it because our hearts have been cultivated by that hardship. And we're trusting more in our works than we are by God's grace. And it could be like this too. It could be that we think that God should make our life easy since we follow him. And when that hardship comes, you get angry at God. Now you close your heart to him with bitterness because that's now cultivating your heart. It's not soft soil anymore, is it? We want the joy and the happiness we think we deserve, and when we don't get it, our hearts are being cultivated to shut off from God. That seed withers and fails. The next obstacle that Jesus mentions is this world. In verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. And here again, the message of the gospel is believed again. But what is happening is that the concerns of the world are allowed to grow and then constrict the heart. That now comfort is desired, that the kingdom that they're living for is not actually God's anymore. No, it's the here and now. So our hearts become cultivated for our own kingdom, one that we can control, one where we have comfort. We cultivate our hearts as we, like I said before, scroll through our devices. We notice the good life of others, don't we? If you're on Instagram, I don't know about TikTok, but it might be the same on TikTok, definitely the same on Facebook. Don't ask me about the other ones. But as you go through and you're scrolling through and you're noticing, everyone's life looks great, doesn't it? Everyone's smiling. Everyone's happy. There's all these happy messages. And without noticing it, as you're scrolling through, those thorns start to take root in your heart. And one day you find yourself wanting what you saw on that device. They had this new computer and it looked like their life was much easier, so now I need that computer because I want my life to be easier. and your mind is now consumed. You saw your friends, family having a great, happy holiday, and you wonder, why has that never happened to me? Every time I go on a family holiday, it seems to go terrible. And your heart is being cultivated, isn't it? It's saying, you're not living your best life now. The good life should be when you go on your holiday to this amazing place and you have an amazing time and everyone's happy. It's great. It's picture perfect. Instagram worthy. Well, what do you say now? It's gram worthy, is it? Is it that phrase yet? No? I'm not up with the lingo yet. Okay, I'll try and work harder on that one. Or maybe it's like this. You watch a movie and the idea is planted in your mind. Guess what, men? Men, a man of action. It's true. And the ladies love him. In fact, your idea of a man is like this. The ladies love him. He has gadgets. He has humor. He has muscles. He saves the world. And your heart is being cultivated as you watch those things. You want that. Your heart starts desiring people to respect you because guess what, everyone? Men are amazing. We are. And when you take out the bins, men, you expect to be admired as you return. How great are you? You took out the bins. And you have a desire to drive fast and furious and all these other things. Those are the thorns that are creeping in and saying, if you want your best life now, you've got to be like these other people. The good life we see, the comfort we desire, the pleasure and the treasure that appeals to our eyes, cultivate our hearts, not for the kingdom of God, but they become thorns and thistles that choke out God's word because we're desiring a different kingdom. And it happens slowly. It happens because we're usually busy. We're busy trying to make our lives so good that and we're taking all those opportunities that are around us and we work longer and longer to make sure we can pay those bills and we spend our time to de-stress in front of the very things that are cultivating our hearts. And so what happens to God's word? On Sunday when people ask, have you read your Bible this week? And your answer is, I've been too busy. Life's smashed. What you allow your time to be consumed by, your mind will be consumed by, and your heart will be cultivated for. Let me say that again. What you allow your time to be consumed by, your mind will be consumed by, and your heart will be cultivated for. There's some big obstacles in our way, isn't there? Some big rocks, some solid ground. A lot of weeds, a lot of thistles. And so you're sitting here and it's probably like, okay, Dan, so who belongs to the kingdom then? How will we survive the trials of life? Who has escaped Satan's work? Who is not consumed by this world? Well, Jesus' answer to us is those who are cultivating their hearts for the kingdom, as he says in verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Note carefully that these people experience hardship, yet they persevere. They struggle with the attempts of Satan, but they overcome not because of their own works, but because of the work of Jesus. They are tempted to lose their joy in God, yet they train their hearts and their minds to love God above the world. Their hearts are cultivated for the kingdom, and they set their rhythms and their routines on Jesus. And Jesus gives us his word to guide us to do this. How are you cultivating your heart? We are to cultivate the message of the kingdom in our heart. There's many things that will throw us off. As Hebrews 3 reminds us, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encouraging one another daily, as long as you see it called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold firmly till the end our original conviction. Friends, it's not easy. Jesus knows it's not easy. We need one another. We need to keep encouraging each other. Opening up our lives with each other through our small groups or through our friendships or through gathering here on Sundays, however you need to do it. And in those times that you're getting together, you need to be open about those struggles, open about those things that you're allowing to sit in the heart, those rocks, that hard ground, the thorns and thistles. Why? So you can pray for each other. And so you can encourage each other about the truths of the gospel. As Hebrews goes on, it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The message of the gospel is important to us, but we need to speak it to each other as well. The message of the kingdom is important. It's important in every day. So those routines and rhythms need to be established around God's word, right? So you need to book it in. Plan life around God's word, not God's word around life. Also memorize it. And Jesus warns us that the kingdom's message is a seed in our lives. And so as we memorize scripture, we're treasuring it. We're taking it deeper down into our hearts so it becomes a part of us. So cultivate God's word into your life. Because when that hardship comes and you're struggling to endure and to look towards God's goodness, guess what? God's spirit goes for God's word and brings it to bear in your mind, so that your heart can rejoice, not in your own work, not be turned away from rejoicing because of the hardships and the trials, but to look to Jesus and to rejoice in him as he stands at the gates of the kingdom and he's waiting for you to enter in. You need it when the treasures and pleasures of this world seem so appealing. To be reminded that as you are living in this world, and look, I get it. I'm like you guys. There are so many things that can steal my eyes, so many things that can steal my heart. But we need God's word to remind us that the streets of his kingdom are more glorious than the best treasures of this world. The streets that you're going to walk on in his kingdom are much more valuable than the best treasures that we have in this world. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. You need God's word when you're anxious and feeling out of control, to be reminded that God knows what you need, that he loves you, that he's with you, that he loves you more than the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and he will provide what you need because he is in control, not you. So friends, how are we cultivating our hearts? What kingdom are you living for? And Jesus is going around from town to town as we look through Luke, and he's preaching the message of the kingdom, and he's looking for people to turn and enter in. And those people who will stand with him in his kingdom are those who cultivate their hearts for the message of the kingdom. So I want you to stop and I want you to think about this. What's one thing you can work on this week to cultivate the message of the kingdom this week? What's one thing you can do? And I don't want you just to think of it. You may write it down. Whack out that digital device. Maybe don't go on the Instagram. Open the Notes app or whatever it is and write that down. That's what you're going to do this week, to cultivate your heart for the message of the kingdom. Or maybe you want to tell someone tonight, a good Christian friend, this is what I'm going to do this week. Can you keep me accountable? Because I want to live for the kingdom of God. Okay? How we cultivate our hearts is important, and Jesus wants us to cultivate our hearts for his kingdom, for his joy, but also for ours. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us, that you've shown us such great, amazing grace in speaking life into our world, that you tell us about your kingdom and how glorious and great it is and how we can enter in through Jesus. And you also warn us that we are cultivating our hearts for the wrong kingdom, a kingdom of our own making and design. And Lord, we admit that we've experienced those hardships, we've experienced those temptations, we've experienced those moments where it seems like your word is not falling into good soil, or our hearts are being cultivated for a different kingdom. So Father, forgive us. Work in us. May your Spirit be helping us to cultivate our hearts, not for the kingdoms of our own design, but for yours. And so that we can enjoy living in your kingdom, and that we could get a taste of it here and now as we live following Jesus, having your word speak into our lives, helping us endure through those hardships and those trials and those moments where there are things that are appealing to us, to even the temptations of Satan, that we could say no because we are sold and we are cultivating our hearts for your kingdom. And we pray this for your glory and praise. Amen.